other influencers that have liked, or we look at their the influencers that we like, followers, to see, you know, who they're interested in and who's influencing them. Because if we like the influencer, who's influencing the influencer, right? So—
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of The Influence Factor by The Influencer Marketing Factory. Today with me, we have a new guest, Erin Banks, Head of Influencer Marketing and Global Events at LifeSum. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you, first of all?
I'm doing great. It's really great weather here in Los Angeles. So I'm doing amazing. I've been traveling a lot. So it's nice to be here in Los Angeles where the weather is really nice.
Fantastic. I am envying you a bit here in New York. It's, of course, getting to the cold, you know, the one of the first winterish, you know, type of things. So I'm glad to know that, of course, LA is always treated better than in New York, I'd say. But first of all, like, for people that don't know about you, who is Erin Banks? And, you know, how you started? Tell us a bit more about you.
So I would say I'm really a mom and I'm a marketer, and I consider myself a bit of a mentor as well, since I have people who work underneath me and who work with me. And so I have to mentor them. So that's kind of, you know, who I am. I can give you a bit about my background if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Okay. So I started out in the industry many years ago before influencer marketing was a term. We used to be more talent managers, celebrity managers would maybe be some of our titles. And so I kind of started before the Instagram revolution and before coining any term, influencer marketing. So most of the times before, we would utilize celebrities to do, you know, red carpet events or to do like campaigns that were going to be advertisements. So that's kind of how it evolved. And around 2015, we saw, after Instagram, you know, went live, that we started seeing that people were sharing and caring and being influenced by the people that they saw. And so our titles started changing, but what we were doing, you know, in general, with negotiations, with scouting, with coming up with campaigns, that stayed the same.
Interesting. I love talking with people that have been here in the industry for a longer time than others, because it's nowadays easy to say, like, yeah, I work with influencers, but only the OG, right? I remember, like, you know, when everything started. And how did you see that changing? Like, what are the main differences, in your opinion, between what was happening now, like 7-8 years ago, compared to what is happening now?
I love being called an OG. I just want you to know. I might actually put that in my head title as well. But so I think the biggest trends is, you know, that, like I said, you know, an influencer is a celebrity. You know, somebody who has 300,000 followers, sometimes they'll even get on television. And so I think that the, you know, the content, we have a little bit more control over the copy and how we are marketed. We started out seeding and finding out which celebrities kind of fit. But now we have more of a relationship with influencers, and I actually like where it has gone. So
interesting. And now with LifeSum, how do you approach influencer marketing when it comes especially to how to choose people, right? Because some brands are only going with, you know, new influencers sold a single time. Others are approaching in a way where you are more ambassador focused. Others are like only nano, only micro. Others are doing a mix. What is your take on that? Do you have any preferences, or are you testing out different things? Have you found something, sort of formula, that works for LifeSum?
Yes. So we generally do longer term relationships with our influencers. We tend to be in the mid tier relationships. But more recently, I've been leaning towards more the nano and the micro influencer. And, you know, and then we will still create longer term campaigns. But occasionally, when we're trying to start, you know, deciding on a new trend or what's like in right now, or maybe we don't know the market very well, like we are in different we're global, so different countries, or we don't know a lot about the influencer, we'll do a shorter term relationship there, maybe 1 month, maybe 1 or 2 months. But we have influencers that have lasted with us for years. As long as the messaging, you know, stays consistent, as long as their followers, you know, still love the brand, then we'll stick with them. Yeah, I think that's how we generally do things.
And have you seen any differences with some of these people that you have been working together for like 3, 4, 5 years? Have you seen like either an influx in their request, or have we been to like, you know, going from, I don't know, like easier collaboration to multi-pages type of agreements? Like, have you seen anything happening there as well with ambassadors that have been knowing you for a long time, or because of the good relationship, it's a bit easier in a way than compared to working with new people?
I do think that sometimes it's easier. They know the brand really well. We do make sure that every single influencer has premium ahead of time and that they get to work with the premium. So they really are authentically coming from, we like the brand, we've used the brand, we have them utilize it before we even start negotiations. They use the brand and they use our app. And so they can say, yeah, this really does fit with me, or no, this doesn't fit with me. But I do find with the people who've been there longer, we don't have to hold their hand as much, because they understand. We'll come up with the campaign, we send them the brief, they're ready to go. I'm not checking their content, you know, day and night. With the new influencers, we do check their content. You know, we're a wellness brand. We want to make sure they're on brand and they're hitting the messaging.
Makes sense. And let's do a step back. So for people that don't know, like, who is LiveSum? Who are the type of audience that are, like, you know, downloaded? Like, can you just give us a bit of a background of the app, and also, like, you know, again, how did that started, the reason why, you know, behind that, and even if you identify specific demographics that are using that the most, or, you know, just giving us a bit of background on that.
Yeah, so our motto is healthy living simplified. So we're trying to help you like create your whole day and track it and be able to see what is working in your wellness journey and what is not working on your wellness journey. You know, it tracks your steps, your water intake, your nutrients, your micros, your macros, your you know, your carbohydrates, your fats, and everything. And it gives you a life score at the end. So we are trying to target anybody who's just trying to use fuel to help yourself feel better. You know, so as we know, you know, that feeling of like you are what you eat. So I think that is kind of, you know, where we came from originally. You know, we believe very strongly that every single individual is different, right? So that's why we have a whole wide, you know, array of influencers, because every single person that uses this technology is using it for a different outcome, for a different need and a necessity to what they think is their wellness goals.
I love these, and I think that it's really, you know, that's works perfectly, and I mean influencers and content creators, right? Because you're talking, as you just said, every person is different, every influencer is different, and you might, you know, see in an influencer someone that you really, you know, trust and might have the same, you know, needs that you have, the same sort of, like, you know, tone of voice and same type of personality or similar, right? So for something that is, you know, help you tracking things in your life, and especially things so important like your health and the food that you are you know, taking and so on, having this type of maybe relationship with someone that you could actually meet on the street, right? And or during an event like that, right? It's not anymore, you know, the celebrity that, of course, the celebrity can give you advices, but it's like, oh, it's easier life, you know, for certain celebrities, right? While for other people that I can recognize are almost, you know, they are living my life in a way, maybe I'm going to even accept the suggestion even more, right? Because we are on a peer-to-peer, right, type of relationship almost. So, and based on that, is there any specific maybe content that you think is working the best at, you know, LiveSum on your even social media accounts? Or have you identified anything? And if so, what are the differences between the content that you might have on TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, YouTube Vlogging, anything like that? Each place is different. So how are you approaching each of these different social media?
So we do. We don't tend to jump on trends. I will say that. We might kind of try to give information about trends or health trends that may be started on TikTok. We'll get our nutritionist to pop on and explain the trend and if it's healthy or not healthy. But we don't have our influencers jump on trends. So we like to keep wellness, you know, at the main level of what is working for them so that, you know, because that is what's going to work for the society in general. On TikTok, we have a lot more fun, right? It's a lot more, you know, like songs, and we do show a lot of recipes because we are a very recipe based app. In the premium, you're going to get, you know, thousands of recipes. You know, we even will have a Thanksgiving recipes come out at Thanksgiving that are going to be healthy recipes. They're going to be a spin on what you normally eat, but how to make it healthy. We did it, you know, we do it for, you know, Taco Tuesday. We do it for different things to say you can have the same meals, but you can make them better. So we'll usually do some fun things, you know, on our brand site. And generally, since the influencer gets to pick what they want, what they like the most about the app, that's what they talk about. We allow them to talk about what they like the most. And some of them really do like making recipes, you know? And so they will use some of the stories or the reels or the songs and create their content using that. And that's really fun. But like I said, some of them are more into tracking, you know, oh, using the barcode scanner, which is really easy, or they're more into showing how they tracked walking their steps or something like that. Like I said, we don't corner them. We want them to be authentic. They're real users of the app.
It makes sense. So you're saying that the storytelling behind maybe a specific feature, right, and that you can have in an app, it's quite important, right? Because if you're trying maybe to hard sell on an app or on a feature because just of the technicality of it, it might be sound, I don't want to say boring, but not that appealing, right? While if you create a story, right, around a specific thing, as you said, could be a recipe, and now... And, you know, like you really can make anything that works for example, now with, you know, Thanksgiving, and later on could be something else. You can really make a lot of that. And do you see also user generated content coming your way? So not just paying, you know, influencers maybe to make content, but have you seen in the past years an influx of user generated content that are making content just because they love your app or...
Yeah, we did a really cool campaign last year called in January called Live Love Livesome. And we had created a voiceover and we had our influencers use it, like how Livesome was used during their day, but also what else they did during their day for their wellness, right? And so that campaign, actually a lot of people started picking it up and saying and using Live Love Livesome voiceover and campaign and music. And so we had a lot of people tagging us using it. And even some of our older influencers were like, this is such a cool campaign. It's about live your life, love yourself, and use Livesome to help you achieve the goals in your life. So that type of campaign really works to get users who are not influencers to just start creating the content. So that was a good one for us.
And I think it's nice to see, right, that not just like well-known influencers or those that have maybe the best perfect aesthetics on social media are actually creating content, right? Because maybe you also see someone that you can understand nowadays, right? If you you were paid or not paid, it is organic content. It's like, you know, it was paid, but from an influencer that already loved your product, you know, so... I wanted also to know what you think about, and you said that already, you mentioned that the term authenticity, that is nowadays you know, a buzzword, everyone is using that, but I saw that your LinkedIn, you reshared this post from someone else that was saying, authenticity is key for engagement. Audiences can tell when your creator is not actually interested in promoting the product, which means it's on companies to do the hard work of finding the right voices for a campaign. Can you elaborate a bit more about that? Like, again, not just the authenticity, but also how nowadays audience are smarter by the day and understanding, like, if you really love a product or not.
Yes, I think, you know, this has always been the core of my beliefs. So that, you know, back in the day, like I said, we used to seed celebrities. And one time I seeded this big time celebrity. And I noticed she would call up and say, hey, I'm going to a different city. Can you send me that product here? So I said, yes. And hey, we're going to do this like advertising. Do you want to be part of it? Of course, you know, paid, but she had authentically like gone after the brand. And so it was an authentic partnership. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we generally let the influencers use the app early on and have them tell us what they like about the app and their successes and even if they have like little hiccups. So they are paid, you know, to do it, but not everybody says yes. We don't say yes to everybody. So there is an authenticity that we've always believed in. Yes, it is the buzzword, but it should have been the buzzword all along. You know what I mean? It shouldn't even have been a buzzword. It should have always been that influencer and celebrity. It should be authentic to the brand. So I think that whether or not it's a buzzword, it should have gone hand in hand all the time. And it's just a true belief of mine.
And absolutely. And I think that it's important, right, to really analyze the word, right? And I like that you said that not everyone accepts, like, you know, maybe your offer or, you know, because they don't align with the product and, you know, the app, but also you do not set everyone, right? And I think that is quite important for everyone there to understand really that on the one hand, you have influencers that you cannot just do like any type of post just because you want to, you know, make more money, that it's understandable, but also you are a brand yourself, right? And you cannot just start promoting everything. And on the other hand, you as a brand, you want to protect yourself from potential scandals, from people that might not be really doing that in a genuine way and so on. So what you said about like understanding really, you know, the two different parties, I think it's really important. I think that was a really nice definition of what authenticity should be nowadays on social media. And you know, still talking about influencers and activation, I saw on your LinkedIn page that you, as a company, you organized in-person events. Especially like, you know, like after COVID, I think that people wanted to get back together. How important is it nowadays for, you know, like something like LiveSum to actually bring people together, first of all, and to what type of people can usually join your events? It is for everyone, all influencers, it's people that maybe pay for the app. Like, how does it work?
So yes. Okay. So after COVID, we decided that we wanted to kind of say thank you to our users and say hello to our potential users. Right. We started brainstorming ways and we thought these global events were the way. We have launched an event in Norway and we were just in Berlin. What we did there, we did a pop-up restaurant in Berlin showcasing all of LiveSum's recipes, because as I said, our recipes are the main function of, you know, what you will get in premium. So we wanted to really give to the users who are premium a special thank you. And so we did serve for 2 days free brunch to everybody that was there. We also hosted spin classes. We had a street team activation. We had a tattoo artist because it's very Berlin to do a tattoo. And then we hosted an influencer dinner as well. But the influencers were only the first night. So they could eat the food, you know, and taste the recipes that with the head chef cooking them first. Most of them had a lot of the recipes and made them, but and meet us in person. And then the next 2 days, we just gave back to the users. And I will say, we've gone two ways with this. It is sometimes it's premium users, and sometimes it's just people who've downloaded the app and are utilizing the app and want to learn more about the app and the recipes inside. So in Berlin, we did make it premium, but we have done it both ways. So keep your eye out. Amazing. We may switch it up again when we're in another country.
But I can see that you love
New York there, Alessandro. Yeah. So maybe you can.
Interesting. I mean, I love events. I love meeting new people, and I love food, of course, because I'm Italian. So it's in the DNA, you know. So that would be lovely. And no, I mean, like I can see that you love these also the side of the events, right? Especially nowadays, it's there is a new app every single day. I mean, more than one app every day. But I'm talking about also in the creator economy, in the influencer marketing space. You know, we can all see that maybe you get maybe certain, you know, fundings or a little bit of publicity. You got a peak, but then a lot of apps, they after a few weeks, they, you know, mostly die out, right? Because there is no traction. And a lot of the times because they have not found maybe a way to really first of all, having a sort of, you know, personality. And two, it's difficult sometimes also like maybe to have this relationship that you only can sometimes make during an in-person event. You know what I mean? So I'm a big fan of everything that is digital myself, but I'm noticing that whenever you want to really build a brand, shaking, you know, a hand with someone and really talking, that is not just in front of a camera, right? But really spending time eating together. I mean, like eating together, it's one of those moments where you can open up, you talk about different cultures, about the food, about everything. And you really can go a bit, you know, beyond what is just a typical professional, you know, corporate, right, conversation. And so yeah. I really do believe that your people, and users and influencers love doing this type of events and can really give that, I would say, twist, right, to a company. I also wanted to ask you something because we talked about, how you find the influencers, the best, you know, matches between you and content creators at the events and so on. But also, and this is all like interesting and nice. And, you know, we're talking about food, we're talking about connections. But something else also that is important in this industry, it's also metrics, right? And numbers and ROI. And, how do you approach that in LifeSum if you do that? And what are, in your opinion, some metrics that every marketer that start working with influencers should look at?
We do analyze our campaigns and we do a lot of metrics to kind of figure that out. I was just on a call, you know, today about organic uplift versus, you know, paid, you know, and clickable links, and how do we analyze? The biggest reason is we want our user to get the best, you know, out of what we're marketing and make sure that we're on target, right? That we know our users, our potential users, as best as we can. So we want to use all of the data in place to make sure that we achieve those goals. I can't share with you exact numbers from LifeSum, but I can say that LifeSum believes that that, you know, using analytics is integral for my specific role. I think I'm like every single influencer marketer is I use the engagement rate. I do look at likes and comments. I really dig deep on the people that we hire. And I'd like to see, you know, I analyze their camp, what they've done previously and how they've spoken about other brands and stuff. So, and if they are nano, then I'm just looking at how they interact with their own audience.
And is that a process that you do manually, automatic way? Do you use any platforms? Do you combine things together? Because every marketer is different, right? Someone is like, no, I just do it manually. I read every single comment. Some others use platforms. Some others do a mix. So what is your approach there?
So we kind of start out and we scout and we use a platform to scout, or we go on influencers that we like and we scout from there, like, you know, people who maybe other influencers that have liked, or we look at the influencers that we like, followers, to see, you know, who they're interested in and who's influencing them. Because if we like the influencer, who's influencing the influencer, right? So we'll look at stuff like that as well. But we do use a platform. We do a huge scouting document. It's almost embarrassing, these tabs. I'm literally like, we've got to move this person over. I mean, it's messy. But then I do, if I get down to the knit, you know, before I hire, before I even outreach, we get down into the comments. We do. I have a team behind me. And like I said, you know, we want to work with authentic people and we want to work with people who are going to like the brand. And before even outreaching, I do go as far. I do. I don't know if everybody does, but I do.
Yeah, no. When you say about also reading the comments, I know that I've been saying this almost in every episode, so people are going to hate me for this, but I'm repeating myself. But really, like, reading the comments can give you so much in terms of almost having a focus group that is telling you what they want to see, what they don't like, what are their needs. And sometimes they start conversation between people and they can find a community, right? So not just an audience, but it's people that maybe recognize themselves, like, you know, in other people, and they start connecting, right? So certain companies are doing like Slack channels, for example, only for their members, like premium members. Some others are like, you know, like as we said before, doing events and so on. So I think that really reading the comments can give you so much more. Like the quality analysis, over also just the quantity analysis, can be really, like, you know, I don't know, in my opinion, can make such a difference there. So good to hear that you're doing that. I'm pretty sure that you have a team with you, because just one person cannot just go through like thousands of comments, right?
Global campaign, you know, like, we're global. We have influencers all over the world. I wouldn't even know what that, you know, I would know what was, you know, what was being said, but what we do divide it up.
Amazing. And is there anything else that, you know, apart from maybe what you're working as of now, is there anything else that is either exciting you or something that maybe you were not expecting growing that fast? Like, because every guest comes, you know, on, and usually they're like, yes, I'm looking at this thing, and I either didn't know there was a potential, or I thought it was not that, you know, like, that interesting, but actually I start, you know, getting into a rabbit hole of information. And so what is your topic, your thing that is getting your attention nowadays?
I have the funniest thing to tell you. Today, just this morning, a friend of mine at like 7 a.m. dropped off a book, because I'm obsessed with the metaverse. And I really think it's the next in influencer marketing. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. Like, in 2-3 years, is it the next thing in influencer marketing or not? But I literally received a book this morning from a friend, because she heard me talking about it. I've been talking about it so much. I'm going to a conference on it in October. I really, truly believe that the metaverse is where brands should be looking. And I believe we need, I just want to have the knowledge and the know-how to get in if that's what we decide to do.
And have you been yourself active in the metaverse? Like, have you been around using different, I don't know, like, you know, because there are people that are playing right in the metaverse. There are others that are actually selling things in the metaverse. Like, one time I cannot remember where, but I was playing around with like Roblox to understand a bit more, because I'm getting to an age where it's a bit difficult for me to understand what a 12 years old, you know, is doing, like, you know, with their computer and everything. But I was there, and I was going around, and there was like a wall with a QR code that was sending to a project for crypto that was talking about like community. It was all together with sub layers of like, you really have to understand that. I was like, okay, I don't know if I understand that. So are you actively now going around and exploring, or are you mostly just reading, watching things? What how in are you in the metaverse?
So I'm at my little beginning infant phases of the metaverse. I'm reading a lot. I'm going to purchase some goggles and a headset. And I am also going to purchase my avatar, I think. So I think that, because you have to purchase them, as I understand it right now. And so I think I'll go in and I just want to see what's going on in there. You know, I just don't want to be left behind. You know, right when Instagram came up, I was like, oh yeah, you know, and tweeting and all of that. It made sense to me, and it didn't to other marketers. And that's fair. You know, if you need time to get into the game, I think that you should, you know, even my brand may need time to get into the game, but you at least should have the knowledge of what is out there to the best of your bandwidth, like your capabilities time-wise. And your interest, it's just something that really interests me. So,
absolutely, you're totally right. The moment that you stop, adapting, right, and understanding, update yourself in what is happening, especially in the social media, right, and all the internet, right, as a whole, you really get, you know, behind. I also myself bought, 1 year ago, I think, the new Oculus. I haven't used them that much, to be honest, because I really think that, as you said, I don't know if this is happening right now, it might happen in some years, because, you know, the graphics are still not there, of course, you know, the interaction between people are still a bit awkward, in my opinion, because you can really feel it that you are there in a way, but you're not there, you know, so, but I do agree with you that if you don't, like, if you are not even starting looking at that, the moment that it is going to get to the peak, you're, you know, far behind that. And not just as a person, but especially as a company. If you are just thinking like, oh, this is not going to happen, it's going to happen. So, you know, just be open, right? And be like, okay, it's happening, and let's get ready. Do you think, just as a last question on this, do you think, like, if you could do an activation for an app like yours, like, what could that be in the metaverse?
I mean, there's a few things that I've thought of. You know, we could do a cooking class. We could do a nutrition talk. We could, you know, show users, you know, our app and how to use it as well. But really, I think the nutrition talks, I mean, that's it, you know, showing how to, you know, talking about our recipes, talking about nutrition. I think that we have a dietitian on staff. You know, so I think she would, you know, she talks to Nike, a lot of different corporations all the time. So I think she would be great to go in there and do like a nutrition talk. Go into somebody else's space, though, because we haven't built one. But yes. So
nice. I can really see that you're passionate about that. That you're already thinking, right? And not just starting, but thinking about activation. But I think that that is really important. As a marketer, you always have to, you know, just think about new, you know, new ways, right, to present yourself to the rest of the world, and it's just also a nice way to have some fun, right? So that you just don't do all the time, you know, maybe your task, but you just think about out of the box and getting there before the others and beat the competition, right? So that I think it's brilliant. Is there anything else that we didn't cover today that I didn't ask you that you think we should know, the audience should know?
No, you did an awesome job. They were great questions. And it was great questions, great conversation. This is the kind of conversation we should be having as marketers. So yeah, I thought that I don't have anything extra to add.
Amazing. Well, with this, and again, thank you so much for your kind words. Erin, it was really a pleasure. I hope that our audience learned more about LiveSum, about you, about what is happening potentially in the future, especially with the metaverse. So again, thank you so much for joining me today. And for everyone else, this was The Influence Factor by The Influencer Marketing Factory, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you.